Look at you. This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. A train derailed in Ohio in early February, dumping hazardous waste. The derailment sparked national attention, and in Michigan, there grew a concern that the hazardous waste being carried by the train was headed for Michigan. Here with me to break it all down is Janelle James of Bridge, Michigan. Janelle, welcome to Mishmash.
Thank you for having me.
So some of this hazardous waste that was on the derailed train did come into Michigan, which caused, as you wrote in your piece for Bridge, quote, a firestorm last week among some Michigan residents and politicians when the shipments became known. But as you pointed out, Michigan actually takes in a lot of hazardous waste already. What did you find in your reporting?
Hazardous waste comes in and out of the state every single day in various hazardous waste facilities, mostly across Southeast Michigan, but they come in every single day from different states and even Canada. So while it was alarming to a lot of residents, they probably were alarmed because they just didn't know that this is something that happened on a daily basis. And also the train derailment in Ohio just sparked a lot of national attention. So obviously, people who are close to it, whether they are in Ohio or Michigan, they're already going to be outraged. And then you add on toxic, hazardous chemicals being on that train derailment, and that just sparked the fire.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned in your piece that there are 15 hazardous waste facilities in Michigan, 10 of which are actually in Metro Detroit, which to me feels uneven and in a lot of ways unfair that many of these facilities are in such a concentrated area. How do the people of Detroit feel about that?
Well, I didn't necessarily talk to a lot of Detroiters or anyone living in a Metro Detroit area, but it's no secret that Detroit is made up of majority Black people in there. And then in Metro Detroit, in a lot of, you know, surrounding cities, there's a higher population of people of low income. So some may say that it creates a disparity that's unfair and impacts marginalized groups more than other groups. So I think that's some of the concern there. And also in general, when I talked to a couple of people I mentioned in my article, they said, you know, Michigan has more facilities than we even need to. So that becomes a question too. You know, we already have a lot of these facilities, and then it's kind of a coincidence, if you will, that so many of these facilities are in Southeast Michigan and surrounded by, you know, people that have historically been impacted by environmental injustice more than others.
And what are the main concerns with bringing hazardous waste into the state? Why are people saying we don't want this to be happening in Michigan?
I honestly think people are outraged because of the Ohio train derailment and because the train carried hazardous materials. But again, those hazardous materials come in and out the state every single day. I think there is some concern, but I think it's fueled by the Ohio train derailment because a lot of these waste facilities have been around for literally decades. You know, they've been around, you know, since before I was born. So I can't speak to, you know, previous incidents where it may have sparked outrage. But in my time, I really haven't seen this much outrage about a topic.
Have they found any health concerns with people who live near these facilities?
I think that's an interesting question. And I think as the world advances and more information comes out in regards to environmental health concerns, and as more studies come out and more information come out, I think we'll learn more about that. But it's not a secret. One of the trucks was carrying, vinyl chloride? I hope I'm saying that right. Vinyl chloride. And that can cause a lot of health effects. The Ohio administration has continued to test the air and water, and they said they haven't found anything yet. But I think as more information comes out in the coming weeks and months, we'll find that there are going to be some consequences. And it's going to mainly impact the people within that area.
What do people say are the benefits of allowing in hazardous waste? Is this mostly it's a business and the people who own these facilities can make money off of it? Or are there any other benefits? Or is it mostly like, hey, this is a business like any other?
So when I spoke to a representative from EGLE, the Department of Environmental Great Lakes and Energy, they basically said that they can't really discriminate on what type of commerce comes in and out of the state. And that's commerce. So I think mostly it's just business. And also, while I hope as technology and the world advances, we find better ways to process these hazardous materials without it necessarily posing a threat to humans. Before the 70s, there was no regulation on how hazardous waste was disposed of or anything like that. So I will say that since then, there has been some advancements, there has been regulations, and there are things in place to try to make it safer for humans. But, you know, at the end of the day, hazardous waste is hazardous waste and is out there.
You had a really great line in your piece. You said, quote, "Toxic transports arrive quietly in Michigan on a daily basis and will continue to do so long after the East Palestine derailment fades from the headlines." Now that there's starting to be more awareness about hazardous waste dumping, that this is something that happens on a daily basis in Michigan, are there any talks about changing regulations or finding ways to reduce the dumping? Or is this something that once Ohio fades from the headlines, so will dumping from Michigan headlines?
I think it's the latter. I mean, unfortunately, there was another train derailment in Ohio this past weekend, and it wasn't carrying any hazardous waste, but it has become an issue. So I think that, again, I really think that the conversation about hazardous waste in Michigan came from the Ohio derailment. I think it will die down. I mean, it already has started to die down. You know, no one's necessarily talking about hazardous waste being transported in and out of Michigan, let alone across the country. I mean, Michigan is not the only state that does this. Like I said, we bring in waste, we also send out waste. So it's a commerce thing. The bigger conversation has become, why has these train derailments happened within such a short time span of each other? And what's happening? So I think the bigger story now is the train derailment in itself. And there has been a lot of interesting things that have come out about that, because we have to still process hazardous waste. You know, we still have to deal with it. But the bigger conversation, I think, now is how to do it safely.
Talk more about the train derailment itself. What are we learning about what happened and how to prevent that?
Yeah, so the first train derailment in Ohio, it happened, I believe it was February 3rd, and over 4,800 cubic yards of toxic waste were disposed of from the site. Now, about 20 trucks were loaded with some of that waste. 15 came to Michigan. So 15, most of the toxic waste from Ohio had already come to Michigan by the time some of these conversations sparked about toxic waste in Michigan. We had already disposed of most of it. But then once a lot of representatives and politicians got word of it, we sent 5 trucks back, and they began sending toxic waste in other neighboring states. Like, they sent some in a facility in Ohio, some in Indiana, in other places. Like I said, Michigan is not the only state that brings in toxic waste or sends it out. So that was the first train derailment. And there's been constant updates about that. Like I said, they're testing the water. They're testing the air. Right now, they're saying, you know, it's still safe. But a lot of people felt like they had no choice but to shelter at home. A lot of people in Ohio, I mean, felt like they had no option other than to shelter in place at home. That was pretty much the first derailment. Now, the second derailment, it didn't have any hazardous waste on it. But again, another derailment within the a month of the first one is, that's a lot. So what is coming out is that during the Obama administration, there were regulations that he put in place for trains that are carrying hazardous waste and trains that aren't carrying hazardous waste to have better brakes. And they were supposed to be implemented by 2023. I don't necessarily know when, but he did put some of those regulations in place so that these trains have better brakes and things like that. During the Trump administration, all of those regulations were repealed, and now under the Biden administration, it doesn't really necessarily look like that he's going to replenish those regulations and put them in place again. So I think the issue is now it's become political, just like everything else. It becomes very political because Norfolk, the main train company, or if you will, they lobby millions of dollars to politicians and parties every single year. So now we're kind of seeing the impact of the regulations that are being repealed because of these train derailments.
Janelle James is a reporter with Bridge, Michigan. Janelle, thank you so much for joining me here on Mishmash.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to our guest, Janelle James of Bridge, Michigan. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr., without whom a lot of this show would definitely not be possible. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, and our podcast interns are Ashley Harris, Patrick Burness, and Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to the show and you want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review. We really love to see those. Or if you really, really like this podcast, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give.